Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 072. Yes, this is the Conundrum Edition here at the Caffeination. I'll explain a little bit more about that later on. I'd like to welcome all of our old and returning listeners back. Thank you for choosing the Caffeination to listen to at whatever particular time you decide to do so. And I'd like to say hi out there and welcome to all of our new listeners to the Caffeination. If you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find it at www.caffeination.com. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun little episode here, hopefully. We had a couple audio issues in the past couple times, so we're working to correct all them. It seems that I was trying to record without the use of headphones for a little bit, and it, you know, just to make it a little bit easier on me, so that way I could keep one ear on the baby monitor or whatever else you wanted to say, and yeah, it didn't work out too well for me. Went back and listened to a couple of the episodes that I hadn't actually gotten the chance to, you know, check over after the fact, and the backing track, the music that you hear in the background right now, was so loud that I could barely hear the information I was trying to report to people. So, can't even talk as usual, but still. If there's any problems out there like that, or anything else you find irritating about the show, please feel free to let us know at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can head on over to our MySpace page at myspace.com/caffeination and leave us a comment, or whatever else you feel like doing. First off, we'd like to say that this show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they see your computer screen. Meet them as long as you want and as often as you need for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in their promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, so, yeah, that is our sponsor. Feels good to say that. Feels that, you know, we're actually making headway in the whole insanity that is the podosphere or podcasting world. So, we're hoping that we're providing you quality content, that we're giving you all the best in information, as we say, all the best in tech news and tips, coffee and all things caffeine, as well as plenty of great pod-safe music and everything else thrown in. Today's show, we're going to have plenty of tech tidbits. Some days I get on a roll finding stories and everything, and there's just so much stuff to talk about that I'm probably only going to clip each one of the stories as we go by. So, again, this is a great show we have lined up. Plenty of caffeinated bits for any listeners that might have found us through any other websites, and as always, a little bit of general information to round out the show, and today again we have more PodSafe music from artists who you probably actually know. One I definitely know you will. We have another song from the artist George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers, and then we have another one from the They Might Be Giants, a band that I've loved for a long time. They were actually on Tiny Toons in the mid 90s, a show I used to watch coming home from high school and whatnot. So fun stuff all around. Let's see what we got here. First off, we should probably send you out with a little PodSafe music, round out the beginning of the show. So first up, again from George Thorogood and the Destroyers and the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have their song, I Didn't Know. So let me know what you think. Again, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, I Didn't Know.
Now this is a song with a message. I didn't know. You gotta know. You gotta know. You gotta know. You gotta know. But I found out what it's all about, and I still don't know. You never know. You never know.
and I'll never know. How could I know? How could I know? How could I know? How could I know? I'm here to say to my dying day, I really don't know. Next time I'll know which way to go. Next time I'll know. Next time I'll know. Some do it right, they do it all night, and they still don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I really don't know. You gotta know. You never know. Next time I'll know. I didn't know. We'll never know.
Again, that was George Thurgood and the Delaware Destroyers and the PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. All right, let's see what we got here today on the tech tidbit section. But first up, I just want to say a couple little things about this. I know some people have actually contacted me and said that, you know, they like the direction the show's going in. And please, everybody out there, it doesn't matter how little you've listened to the show, even if it's only one show, and you're like, you know what, maybe this needs to be changed or maybe that needs to be changed. Please feel free, just email me. I'm open to suggestion on almost everything. The only thing I'm not going to change about the show is the name of the show, which I'll actually talk a little bit about next time, so you can tune in for that. But as always, you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. And if you're looking for where this podcast is from, and you're listening on the PodSafe Music Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com. All right, so now we're going to head on into the tech tidbit section here at the Caffeination. We're going to continue our story here on the vocab lesson, teach people a little bit about the geek speak that's floating about, teach people a little bit about what it means to be a geek, the terms and terminology we use to describe the rest of you. If you're familiar with the Harry Potter term muggles, that is people who do not do magic, then you're going to understand a little bit about why techs actually use such terms to describe other people. And it's not necessarily always the same thing. You know, it doesn't always mean this person's a moron, this person just doesn't know what they're talking about. There's usually subtle variations. And we'd like to thank one of our users, one of our listeners, Emily. Again, she emailed in with bang-up content. She actually emailed a response to the whole noob versus newbie article. There had been a comic over the summer, and you can head on over to the link in the show notes. It's a wonderful little thing from Control-Alt-Delete, and I remember reading the comic now, but I had had so many people ask me about this in work. I mean, because one of my student workers actually came in and asked me something like, somebody called me a noob. What does that mean? I went through the whole thing about, you know, what context was it in? Were you actually being a tool or, you know, what? So, just to get back to a little bit about why we use these terms. There's subtle variations in everything. Just, for instance, with noob and noob, you know, N-E-W-B and N-O-O-B. And then there's, you know, just other things. You know, it basically lets the person you know, if they are a member of the geek culture, if they're familiar with the nomenclature that surrounds the geek culture, lets them know exactly what kind of user that they're working with. Are they seriously a pin thrower, or are they more of a, I don't know, noob? All right. Well, we have a couple of those today, and then we have a couple other things today, so let's just start right on it. This is one I actually said to one of my friends the other day. It's a sneaker net. Now, most people don't know what a sneaker net really is. Everybody has the internet, which is the World Wide Web Consortium, plus the other services that run on the internet. We're actually going to talk next time about what internet and World Wide Web mean and why they're different. But then you have the intranet, which is usually, you know, like if you're working in a company or you're in a school, it's the network inside that thing. So what exactly would be sneakernet? Well, it's the one kind of file sharing nobody can ever shut down. It's where you take something, copy it onto a disk, walk it down the hallway, and give it to your friend. Yeah, it's that simple. That's SneakerNet. All right, on to another kind of nasty term about somebody, but if you call somebody a lamer. Now, when you're calling somebody a lamer, you could be saying one of many things. If you're talking about more of the gaming context, you're talking about somebody who really tries hard. I mean, they're always there, and they have somewhat of an inflated self-opinion of their capabilities, shall we say, but they come up short chronically. Another term would be if somebody, you know, tries that hard to be exactly like you are, but they're just not measuring up. So if you... We had a user in school, in high school, one of the kids who was a couple years younger than us, who had buttloads of money. I mean, he came from a very well-to-do family, or at least they felt like spending a lot of money on technology. So what he did was, you know, he would always come in and say, "Oh yeah, I got this, you know, over the weekend. I got the newest video card. I got this, and you know, aren't I as cool as you guys?" And then we'd all just kind of look at him and laugh and say, "Nah, not really. It's not what you have; it's how you use it. You have to know how to use it." That's kind of like an example of what a lamer would be. And then the final term is called PWN or own. The P is right next to the O on the keyboard, so it's more of the leet speak from last time, but it has a direct connotation within games. When you pwn someone, or when you own them like that, then means that you have completely annihilated within the context of the game, so much so that there's probably physical ailments that are reflected from it. So it's a little harder to explain that, and there's actually a very good serial web... journal online that explains this a little bit better. I'm going to have linked up in the show notes. It's all about the this person who's a supposed elite gamer, and it's hilarious. It's a whole bunch of videos. I think they're up to like episode 12 now. And if you can get past the guy's diction, he talks very strangely, then you can start to see the little intricacies within the dialogue. It's a wonderful little thing. It's actually called where is it? You know what? I just lost the name of the thing. I had it sitting here in front of me, and I can't remember for the life of me what it is. Such is the nature of the web. Let's check it out. Oh, it's called Pure Pwnage, or Pure Ownage, at purepwnag.com. It's all about this Uber gamer who's named Jeremy, and his quest to pwn noobs, and it's pretty funny if you actually think it's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know. There's no other way to actually say it, but moving right along, I think that just pretty much does the dialogue section to death right there. So if you have anything that you'd like us to explain, somebody might have called you something in work, and you're not really sure what it is. Somebody might have said something. You know, most geeks are... willing to actually take the extra time and say, all right, no, this is what this means, this is what that means. But every once in a while, you're just going to get somebody like Nick Burns, the company computer guy, who just doesn't, you know, completely talks down to you. So that's what we are here for. So, yeah, moving right along, there's been an article up online about the Xbox picture, and when I first saw this, I was a little bit upset because I was like, oh my god, are they going to actually cancel the Xbox now that I've spent the extra money in our budget to buy the Xbox 360? But it says basically Microsoft's Xbox division has been bleeding red ink from almost the beginning that it started. In fact, it has been bleeding red ink, and they said it lost somewhere in the nature of $485 million two years ago. And last year, it posted a $388 million. I'm sorry, that was actually in one quarter from the beginning of this year until March 31st. It posted a $388 million operating loss. So I was like, you know, most companies probably won't deal with this very well. So did I just make a bad investment here? And of course, basically what Microsoft said in response to this is, we consider all of those losses rather an investment in the Microsoft of the future. Rather that, you know, eventually the price to produce the consoles is going to go down and the price that people pay is going to start, you know, turning a profit. We're going to be making money from game licenses and games and Xbox Live service. We're also going to be making money with the connection from your Xbox to the new Vista PCs and the Zune media player. So they have this whole personal area network thing going on. So they consider this a large investment towards the future, so that, you know, even though they might be taking losses right now, that they do have a plan in mind. So that's comforting on one level as a Xbox owner, but on the other hand, it's like, that just seems to be bad business sense. But then again, you look at Sony, and Sony's going to be losing money hand over fist the first couple years anyway, too. So, all right, moving right along, the worst tech in 2006 updates. CNET fairly frequently puts a list of the worst tech of this quarter, of that quarter. So saying the worst tech of the third quarter in 2006, and right up at the top, they have the Dell battery recalls. Now, if I was CNET, I know Dell got the most publicity from this, but I would probably also put out you know, the fact that Apple has recalled batteries twice in the past year, and I might want to link it directly to the person who made these batteries, which is Sony, because Sony is responsible for all of the batteries, which somehow never ended up in a Sony laptop, you know? Just a little weird. And you can head on over there and check out all the interesting gadgets and gizmos that have made their list of worst tech of 2006. They have a game in there that just had horrible graphics, spent years creating, and turned out to get like a 1 from GameSpot, which is nigh impossible to do, because they give even like horrible games like 7s and 8s out of scale as a 10. But there are just a couple of the things up there. They have a Motorola Razr from Dolce & Gabbana, which is gold, has a special Dolce & Gabbana ringtone on it so that you know exactly how much money you spent on your cell phone. And then, what else? Oh, yeah, they also have the Dell batteries and stuff like that. There's a couple news items in there as well. They're not all winners like they were last quarter, but still, it's very funny, and it's going to be It's going to be interesting to see exactly what they pick as the worst tech all overall of 2006 at the end of the year, but still. And if you think gold is chic, you should definitely head on over to the Sci-Fi Tech blog and see a cell phone case, possibly, made of ivory. This is a skin, actually. It's hand-tooled from a trio of Chinese craftsmen who work 3.5 months on one phone. This phone's casing is worth $23,000. That's just insane. Not that somebody would spend that long to create an object of beauty, which it is, but it's also made out of ivory, which is kind of, you know, very passe, very unenvironmentally friendly, but still. You know, tell that to the people who still wear furs and all that stuff, but all right, moving on, in the WeTech section, which I think I'm actually going to start creating that, because as I've become a new father recently, everything seems to be going fine in that area, by the way. No co-host tonight. He decided to go to bed nice and early, and we decided to record nice and late, as was our want later or earlier on in this podcast's life. But still, I think I might actually start creating a WeTech section, or We is paying homage to the name we called Paul before he was born, since we didn't know male or female. We called him the wee one, or yeah, so there you go. But I keep finding interesting tech for children, or for little ones, or for babies, or for parents who are worried about where their babies are. Now, this seems to be by far one of the better ideas I have ever seen. Now, personally, as someone who has gone through in his life several major growth spurts, I mean, we're talking like shoe sizes within 3 months of each other, you know, or 2 or 3 months. So this makes a great idea. What this is a, it's called the Inchworm Shoes. What it is a pair of shoes for $20. That's it. $20. And what you can do is there's a button on the bottom of the shoe, and as the child grows to accommodate their ever larger feet, you click this button and it changes the size of the shoe. It elongates it, which allows the child's feet to fit more correctly. Which is just, I don't know, revolutionary? I mean, this was the kind of technology that was in Back to the Future in, like, 1992 or whenever the second movie came out, and they went to the future to see all this stuff. I mean, this is insane. This is a great idea. The shoes can apparently go up three sizes, so a size 9 shoe can go 10 and 11 as well. It's a wonderful idea, and I really hope this kind of thing catches on. Of course, Nike and Reebok and all the rest of the companies are probably not going to catch on to this, because that would mean 2 pairs of shoes that they don't sell. So, all right, Moving right along, we have the latest in robotic pleasure for everybody out there. If you've been listening to the Caffeination for a long time, then you know that I absolutely love robots. I don't know if it's my deep science fiction background or anything else that happened when I was younger, but I just love robots. I love stories about them. And the older I get, the more realistic a lot of those stories are getting. But this one's a little bit off the beaten track. It's called a weed-killing robot. Apparently, this thing has a towering... looks like around a 10-foot little span there and a little tiny robot under it. And it motors around your lawn, searches out weeds, and kills them with extreme prejudice. Utilizes GPS, robotic vision, and ultrasonic to find your way around your yard. When it finds a weed, it reaches out, slices it down with its cutting arm, then sprays it with herbicide to get the job done. Does all this at 3 miles an hour. So as long as no one makes one of these big enough to go for humans, I think we're all alright. Apparently this one isn't for sale, but I think it's really cool that they even tried it. It's from the University of Illinois. Now we find the stranger, you know, truth is always stranger than fiction, and I don't think anybody would have, you know, believed one of these. There's a level of believability that just does not exist should you have seen one of these in the movies, but still, interesting little thing. People, for some reason, love the Roomba. You know, that little robotic vacuum cleaner, and it has had all manner of things done to it. From being painted like a frog, then them using a Bluetooth remote and driving it across the street at rush hour, to a whole bunch of other different things. But still, now here's one thing that some techs did to a Roomba that I really can't explain, so I might as well just let you... hear from for yourself, and then I'll give you a little bit of a clip, and then you can see exactly what they did to the Roomba by clicking on the links over at caffeination.com. But here's the noise that it makes now. All right, so after some minor technical troubleshooting, here is now the noise that the modified Roomba makes. Alright, now if you can't tell what that incredibly strange and it seemed to be a little bit distorted on that one. If you can't tell exactly what it is, let me tell you. They took a chimpanzee head, you know, a robotic one, put it on top of the Roomba, and as it decided to, you know, wander around, it would change the different noises that the chimp made, and the noise in the background you hear, the grrr, you know, that kind of low purring noise is actually the vacuum section of it working. So I don't know if the two things are actually integrated, but still, very, very strange, and I would love to see what somebody's animal would do to that, you know, like somebody's cat or something like that. It'd just be crazy to see exactly what would happen, what kind of hijinks would ensue necessarily. So, on to, let's see what else we got here. Anything Star Wars is cool. Now, this it's kind of like a geek mantra, if you will. Companies that cater to geeks like to directly associate themselves with Star Wars or Star Trek or something very inherently geeky to sell their products. Now, this works double for technology companies, and there's a company called Mimoco, M-I-M-O-C-O, which creates flash drives, which have alternate uses. They're also collectible because they come in limited editions. And for some reason, they all look like little bears with you know, tiny little ears on the top. And now they have a line of Star Wars flash drives coming out. Now, the 1, 2, and 4 gig flavors are 80, 120, and 170, respectively. So, I don't know. The first one to come out, and the other three are kind of a mystery at this point. But the first one to come out is Darth Vader. It looks really cool up until the point where you look up and you see the two tiny little earbuds sitting there, and it's like, I don't know. That's not necessarily the coolest thing that I would put up there. So anyway, that's where you go. But still. All right, now the next thing we have up there is a steampunk laptop. Now, steampunk, as defined by Wikipedia, is a subgenre of speculative Fiction, which takes place in the, or started to come around in the early 1980s, 1990s. It basically takes elements from, like, I don't know, around Civil War era, if you're in the United States, around 1860s, 1870s, and the plethora of steam engines that were available at that point in time, and kind of modifies them to more modern technology and enhances them with maybe not necessarily electronics, but just crazy mechanical means of using and performing tasks. And you can see kind of examples of this in different things within Hellboy, the animated movies, and the comic books, and more recently The Adventures of Screw-On Head and stuff like that. But still, it's kind of interesting to look at. And one of the things that we have linked up here is a laptop that's handmade, and it's steampunk driven. So it's this crazy little looking laptop with an actual typewriter on there, real screen, and a whole bunch of different valves and buttons. And the mouse is actually a modified Morse code telegraph typer. And the cool thing about the entire thing, and the only thing that makes it like as awesome as it is the fact that it's working. It comes complete with USB and Ethernet. So it's not just for show, but still, could you imagine walking around and trying to use this thing? The only thing is, it doesn't actually fold flat due to the typewriter and all the other things sitting up there. But still, somebody actually made it a functional device, which is just so cool. So you can head on over to sci-fi.com or blog.sci-fi.com, actually, and check it out. But I personally think it's a very interesting little invention there. And one to make people aware of, there still are websites out there which require you, other than the Windows Update site, which require you to use Internet Explorer. And if you head on over to Wired.com or the link that we have provided in our show notes, then you can see that there's a little take on the Internet Explorer conundrum, shall we say. There's a whole lot of problems with today's show. We've actually started and stopped it a lot. So the conundrum actually refers to a couple problems and questions that I propose within the show, and the problems and questions that were proposed to me during the creation of today's show. So it's actually taken a lot longer than it usually does. It usually takes around 2 hours, an hour to prep and an hour to record. And so far, I think we're entering in our 3.5 hours so far. But still, I feel that this is going to be a very good episode. A little bit long, but still. You can head on over to the blog specified in our show notes, and they're asking for sites that you have found that still require Internet Explorer. Now, they're basically saying it's a tenet of bad design to require one web browser over another. And I heartily agree with this. And more using my Mac and work, and using other computers, and especially Linux desktops, if you have a site which requires Internet Explorer, you're basically cutting off sizable chunks of your population that are unable to use it. Now, I can see where this is going to be a problem if you find a bank website or a utility website, but it starts to get a little bit iffy when you say, oh, well, Windows Update is not usable through Firefox. Yeah, because Windows Update's a Microsoft site. So I could see where they'd say, you know what, you need Windows or Microsoft Internet Explorer to run Windows Update, because, whatever, but still. You can head on over there and just check out and see exactly. They also have a couple other articles linked about the problems with Internet Explorer, and I'd heartily recommend heading on over there. And finally, from a tech tidbit section, almost running in 30 minutes just for to get to the end of the tech tidbit section. Told you this is going to be a good long episode, but still, I figured that I blabbed and blundered through most of it so far, but still. Now we have another tidbit episode, but today, for this day in tech, is not a previous episode, but rather a new one. The new element 118 is now on the periodic table of elements. I don't know if it happened a couple days ago, but I just started seeing it posted everywhere today, so I decided to throw it out there. So October 15th, 2006, the element 118 was created. Apparently this has also been a couple years ago. Somebody said that, but they were lying. So yet another example of scientists trying to fudge the facts to try and create it. The reason that I chose to link directly to the Slashdot article and not directly to the element is because of the incredibly funny, at least to my eyes and ears, comments that are directly below it. The first comment says that I have 10 pounds of element 119 right here. Then somebody responds to that and say, dude, last time I checked, that's not element 119. They're called corn nuts. And they don't give you or anyone else special powers. And then somebody else responds with, I think having 10 pounds of corn nuts is a special power in and of itself. So it just gets on further and further down there. But on this article, you know, more so than a lot of the other Slashdot articles that I've seen recently, just the comments alone make the article that much more enjoyable. So I thought I'd link directly over there and have you check it out and see exactly what's going on. I think we're going to break right here for the next episode of the PodSafe Music here today. So you can hear from They Might Be Giants, the song I Am Awake. Again, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have They Might Be Giants and their song Am I Awake?
Am I awake? What time is it? Can someone tell me how and how much longer now am I awake? The coffee's cold, did I forget to drink it yet? So wet, I don't remember drinking it. When I get through this part, will the next one be the same? Will I be wondering if I'm awake? These are not the clothes I had on when I went to bed. And something else besides my head is growing from. Is it that time again? Wasn't it already then? So does it have to be the time it was again? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how and how much longer now am I away? Through this day, can someone tell me how and how much longer now am I awake? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how and how much longer now am I awake?
Again, that was They Might Be Giants from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. with their song, Am I Awake? Now, a little bit different than the songs we usually throw out there for the podcast, but hey, they mention coffee in the middle of it, and I'm a big fan of They Might Be Giants, so you're just going to have to deal with it, at least for the remainder of this show. If you don't like it, please tell me. Email caffeination@gmail.com, or feel free to stop by our website and leave a comment under the episode as www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Or you could head on over to our MySpace account over at myspace.com/caffeination. So, alright, we are on to the general news or general information section here. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network, BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, so you can head on over there and to see this kind of of shows that I listen to and other people in the network listen to. It's kind of a fun way to check out and find new content, so hope everybody heads on over there. Finally, our blog. I know we slipped a little bit in the past, but we're back on track now, at least around one day after we post the episode here. We usually get some fresh content up over at the blog at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog, and you can check all this stuff out over there. It's usually a little commentary on something that might have happened in the show today, something that I might want to go on a little bit about. Also, there was a issue with at one point when I was going to be posting some rather scathing commentary about stuff that happened within the hospital and things that ticked me off during the birth of our child, but I decided to post it somewhat of an annotated version of that, out of respect for a lot of the people that I know in the medical profession. Now, this isn't a comment, you know, good or bad against some of the people that helped us, because a lot of the people were very nice, but rather a comment in deference to some of the people that I know who work in the healthcare industry. And I was like, you know what? I know that these people are under a lot of stress, and I don't want to think that I'm indicting the entirety of the profession, so I'd rather just post a somewhat annotated version of the whole thing. So you can head on over there and check out that, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff over there. Speaking of blogs, not to jump ahead of ourselves, but at the end of today's show, there's also a link to a very, very funny blog on coffee and humor by a humorist named Tom Coffee, who we've started a dialogue with. A wonderful little website over there at spillingcoffee.com, so I'd heartily recommend people go over there and check it out. It's not always directly about coffee, but he always relates something back to it, so it's interesting to check out. We only have a couple little caffeinated bits for you today. That was one of them, so you're going to just deal with it. But yet another caffeine study. Bring it on. I can sleep when I'm DED dead. All right, this is a new study, apparently, and everybody likes to try and nail caffeine to the floor for one or another infraction. You know, like, oh, is it going to actually keep you up? Yes, that's why people drink coffee, to keep them up, to keep them from going to sleep. It's one of the reasons that this podcast is possible, because the times at which I like to do it are usually times which I would have passed out by now, as it is almost midnight at this point, but still. It says, basically, if you drink coffee to keep you awake during nighttime, it will interfere with your ability to take daytime naps. Now, I don't exactly know how this works, but it says caffeine has a stronger disruptive effect on daytime catch-up sleep after a night of sleep deprivation. I also know a lot of kids in college which would probably disprove this, because after they stay up all night doing, you know, all-nighters for term papers and everything else, I don't know very many people that aren't able to get to sleep once they turn the paper in the next morning. I myself know a couple times, you know, I'd stay up all night, you know, rocking the caffeine out nice and hard, take the train into school, turn in a paper, come back home, and pass right out on the train. So I don't know where they were going for their information or exactly how their study was conducted, but it seems a little hinky to me. So on to the fact that Coke has a new energy come out, coming out called Enviga. They're trying to say that it's a calorie-burning drink, and this is going to be just yet another amalgamation of caffeine and like green tea or something like that, which I think is exactly all this is. And I think they're going to be taking all the sugar out of it, so it's basically Coke with green tea in there, so, but no sugar syrup or saturated cornstarch or whatever else they put in these drinks. I'm not a big fan of Coke anyway, but still, I will try it. I will put myself out there for the rest of the podcast community here. I will try to show you exactly what we think of the different energy drinks and let you know. All right, and last little thing we have up here today is the a thing from the Gizmodo. It's a mood light chiller. It's supposedly romance for geeks, but it's a plastic-looking bucket that has, depending on the light around it, it changes the lighting to become ambiently acceptable. It has a rechargeable battery, and they say they suggest that you actually drink the wine instead of just displaying it. Now, if this was coffee liqueur in there, I would be all for it. Or if they had this, you know, maybe a little rechargeable ice cubes that you'd drop in coffee or whatever else. But still, I just thought it was an interesting thing, and this is the only place I could honestly find a way to put it into the into the podcast, so that's where it went. That just about wraps it up for today's show. I wanted to address a couple things that people have been talking about to me in the on the side, but I've had a lot of people comment and you know, say, okay, now we know that you like to use video game music. Now, where do you get these mixes? You know, like the ones like the beginning of the show, which sounds something like this. Yeah, everybody knows that that's from Super Mario Brothers. Now, the mix came from me. I used a GarageBand and kind of messed with a MIDI file that I found on the internet and added a couple little effects in there, and it became the theme song for the Caffeination. So, you know, that's nice and good. Now, I had somebody else comment on one of the songs that we used last time, which was this. Now, they couldn't quite place exactly where this was from. This is from Doom. Now, this is the song that you hear on the first level. Again, I screwed with it a little bit and changed some of the instrumentation around. Didn't add too many effects in there or anything. But then there's also this, which is also from Mario Brothers. Now, that hasn't changed at all. That's the castle theme song. And what else do we have? Everybody knows this one. Yes, this is from Mortal Kombat, the Sega game that came out. Then there's another Nintendo old standby, which is Zelda. I love using that one because it has a nice, fun little sound. And then there's the final one that we use for the podcast. This one is from a true classic in video games. This is from Frogger. So Emily and everybody else who out there who asked exactly where all the songs came from, that's the more you know. Ding. So, all right, everybody, thank you for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.